Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Galactic History Show. I'm your host, Chris Hales, and we have a big show queued up for you today, beginning with Andrew Bustis, still broadcasting from the island of Kauai. Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
Good morning, Chris. Live from a golf course on a beach in a condo in Kauai.
Excellent. You may have to take yourself off the speaker and go just to the headset because I'm getting a big echo from you at the moment.
I am on the headset.
Okay. In that case, we'll just have to see how it goes. The interference is quite heavy.
How is that now?
That is still quite broken up, unfortunately.
Still broken up. Actually, I'm going to take it off first.
Yep.
I've got the phone in my ear now. How's that?
That's okay, but you're still quite broken up. We'll see how it goes.
Got that 5 bars.
Yep.
Irony. Let me move over here to the other side. Am I getting better reception?
Just keep talking. We'll find out soon enough.
Well, it's been an interesting couple days. We've moved from the Honolulu Bay Resort to a condo by the beach. We've got our second week here, and we're looking for a home here in Kauai. It's the second part of the plan is to set roots down here and open, create and play spaces here for those people that are high energy, high vibration people.
Excellent. And you're still finding that the birds are actually gathering every time you... every time you put the cones out and start one of these shows.
Absolutely. Right now there's 5 chickens, 4 ducks, a bunch of birds, and a big semicircle around us.
So Dr. Doolittle is in the building.
That's correct. Dr. Doolittle is saying, "Here, ducky duckies."
Very good.
I think it's the same ducks that followed us from the other resort, honestly.
Really?
Yeah, honestly, we're only like a mile and a half from one to the other, so it's not without possibility that these ducks go from condo to condo to condo, but they're still here.
Fair enough. So you're thinking of putting down some roots directly in Hawaii and actually staying there?
That's correct. The island has called all of us to be here in its own way, and from the moment we got here, you know, the challenges that we faced to get here were outweighed by the welcoming of the energies here.
Excellent.
You know, the journey of from the mountain to the mountain is ending, and that's what, you know, setting roots down is about. You know, I started in Mount Shasta in June the 15th, and now September the 2nd, we're in Kauai next to Mount Kilauea. So it's a unique transition from point to point, from one volcano to the other.
Excellent. Now, speaking of the Mount Shasta event, the videos that you shot in Mount Shasta with Lance White are starting to appear up on YouTube or about to be posted to YouTube?
Yeah, ironically, we were doing a test video, and we put it on one of our other sites that we don't really promote, and all of a sudden, somehow, some way, it has made it out and is spreading really fast, and we love it because the material has been waiting in suspension for a very, very long time. So we will have them up on sovereignmedia.net. If not, you should be able to find them spreading on YouTube from the Creating 5D channel. And I encourage everyone to go look. I believe the first five videos are up. The video production company that we had working took some extra time to get it done. And we'll have some higher quality stuff with more shots and angles up later next month, probably. And we'll probably be making the whole seminar and everything we did at Mount Shasta available for a single purchase. It's like 40 hours of video.
Yeah, it's quite a lot of video. I mean, they're about 25 minutes, 20 to 25 minutes per video.
Yeah.
So
yeah, there's 10 25-minute videos, and then the entire conference was also recorded.
That will be excellent. Excellent.
As well as the audio recordings from By the Fire.
Yeah.
Where people are reading out contract revocations, and we were talking about the change in the universes.
Now, on the line, we've also got Andre Hodge, whom I think is his connection is still okay. Are you there, Andre?
I am, Chris. How are you?
We are good. We are excellent. And Andrew tells me that you're going to be doing transcription work from the video shows and working on the transcription of the seminar he did with Teal Scott last week.
Yeah. This goes back to his Adventures in Reality shows.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've had many chats to Andrew about this, and many people out there have probably listened to them. And there's a need for them to get into a format where people can read, not just listen to as well, because
mm-hmm.
there's great teachings in them. And I'm happy to sort of help out with that and get it done. And, you know, my instincts have been to actually, you know, push through any personal barriers and get onto it, because, you know, it's about getting ahead of the curve, so to speak, and it's been there for quite a while. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, that show with Andrew and Teal last week, that had some really amazing statements in it. And, you know, shows like that where, as you say, there's a great density, a great compactness about some of these shows where the information is so prescient, it's kind of thick, and reading it is really quite fascinating. When you're actually doing the shows, you don't necessarily remember a lot. So it's actually important for me to see the transcripts as well, particularly of that show, because there was so much spoken about there. Andrew, have you had any feedback about the show you've done with Teal last week?
I've had a tremendous amount of feedback with that show. It's been one of those mind-blowing, eye-opening shows for many, many, many different people.
Yeah, it was. It really spoke to, you know, one of the questions that just about everybody has at some point in their life, which is, you know, what the hell am I doing on this rock?
Exactly. Not only what are we doing on this rock, what is this rock?
Yes. What is this rock? I mean, it turns out this rock is in its terms of its importance in the universe is biblical. You know, one of the concepts that kicked around in the Middle Ages was that the Earth was the center of the universe. Well, from a physical point of view, it's not right in the middle, but it's central to the universe. Absolutely.
Well, I think those people were trying to tell us something, even though physically, through science, even though science is only a set of belief systems that we create and then we enforce from generation to generation, it was a culture trying to tell us something through their natural exploration. What was it they were trying to tell us? It's important. These times are important. You know, every year since 490,000 years ago has been vitally important. So important that each generation of migration of souls that come here is trying to break a cycle that's so big and so large. It took people able to read the entire timeline history. And that's what Mount Shasta was about. It took me and others that are in this capability of doing it to bring it to the public. Just yesterday I did a show with Dr. Dream and Laura Eisenhower. We did an off-air recording, which will air tonight at 5 p.m. Pacific, I believe. You can check out Dr. Dream and Laura Eisenhower's Blog Talk Radio site, and you'll be able to hear that show. And it's a very, very in-depth reality function show. We talk a lot about the basics of reality. And both Dr. Dream and 6 p.m. Pacific time, it'll be on. And it'll be a really an interesting show. You know, for those that regularly listen to me and Chris, you'll hear me in the flow and then answer questions, because Laura Eisenhower is a very powerful psychic, and so is Dr. Dream. And when you have two people that are at that level and can hold that kind of space, much like when Chris and Lance are on, you know, it opens up the potential. And now I have Chris and Andre on the line, and that opens a whole new potential up. And this next part of the potential is we're trying to get Chris to the event in October 3rd in Lido Key, Florida, which I'll be speaking along with Teal Scott, Dr. Dream, Laura Eisenhower, Lisa Renee, and that's Tom Lesher. And we're going to be doing the Return to Atlantis event with N5D Media. It's Greg Prescott and Helene Lipson, who are both absolutely wonderful, amazing people. And Chris is going to be hosting the live stream. And so we're going to fly him from Australia to Florida. So we're going to be doing two teleseminars to raise money to get Chris to the teleseminar event. I'm sorry, to the event in Florida. So we're going to start promoting that, as well as we're going to have Andre on and talking about the transcriptions. And what we'd like to do is get people to give feedback. You know, Andre has had some incredible suggestions about the transcripts where you can he can write what I say or what the question is, and then put a link to the video section where the timestamp is, so you can go and listen to the actual words.
Well, that's a tremendously interesting idea. Andre, you're actually going to pull out the, you know, some of the more significant passages, actually, are you, and put them somewhere to download?
Yeah, well, I mean, we're talking out loud about the possibilities here.
Brainstorming as part of that.
It's a good idea. I certainly understand brainstorming for sure. Yeah, so let's not put it out there as an actual thing that's going to be done. But you're putting the timestamp on the transcription, so you can jump to that spot in the audio, is what you have in mind.
Yeah, well, basically there just needs to be some work done to identify the real crackers of points where Andrew goes into it for a few minutes, right? And say, you know, I was present for many of his reading shows in the past, and he'd talk about things like the elements or, you know, cleaning out the gut because it's attached to your emotional traumas and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And many things are repeated, right? So the key is to maybe hear it from three or four readings to, you know, if you have an interest in a topic, which you can apply to yourself, right? Because it was teachings for us all. So, you know, you can go through the topics and potentially identify the different people. It's going to be a bit of work, and, you know, we've only just talked about it yesterday or whatever, but it'll be a great benefit for those who come, because once the foundation is there, it's a lot easier for those that come. So.
Tremendous, yeah. Well, I certainly do want to get to the Return to Atlantis event. So the teleseminar material that we're going to start putting together to help me get there would be tremendous if you guys out there can support it, because I really would love to get to that event. I will get to that event, actually, one way or the other. It will happen.
And if people would like to, they can go to my webpage, andrewbarchus.com, on the products page, and there's a donate button there, and you can put a message in that this donation is for Chris to get to the event, for the Lido Key event at for the Return to Atlantis event. For those people that enjoy Chris's conversations with me and the many shows that we do, you know, we'll also be putting the teleseminar as to raise funds to get Chris from Australia to Lido Key, Florida. So that is another option. There is a donate button on my page. Normally I use that for readings. But you can use that. Just type into the notes that this donation is for Chris to go to the Lido Key Return to Atlantis event.
Mm, that would be fantastic if anyone is so inclined. And also, just to remind people, there's other shows that we're putting on during the week. I've got the repurposing show on my little channel, which is One People Oneness Radio. That happens Monday afternoon for me, so it's sort of a late-ish Sunday night. Trying to move it to be a bit earlier so the Eastern United States doesn't have to stay up late. And then I've got the Long Conversation, which will be the same time as we're talking now, but in 24 hours. And doing about a teleseminar a week, approximately, with Andrew as well. So there's plenty of stuff around. Plus, while I'm remembering, I've actually got a Facebook page going, which I'll put in the chat here. The reception has been really good. And I need to make sure I actually put the right link in here. Here it comes, folks. That's the Facebook page link. So if you want to jump on and like that page and say hi, that would be great too. Just trying to get
you can also jump onto my Facebook fan page, Andrew Bartzis, and you can like that too, where we started that, I believe, 2 weeks ago, and we're up to almost 400 likes, something like that. And if you like the material, stop on by, give a like, give a comment, and that's a place you can get regular updates as well as sovereignmedia.net.
Yep, it's all good. Gradually, it's taken a little time, but we've got getting the information pathways well established now, so it'll be easy to find the material, which will be tremendous. And really looking forward to hosting the live stream. We have an intention to have Hope Girl as a co-host on that live stream, working on that, and that actually should fall into place, because she's not that physically far from where the conference is, compared to myself particularly. She's on the East Coast, so hopefully
that'll be
it'll work.
Two day event live stream, so it'll be really special. It'll be Friday and Saturday and Sunday, the 4th through the 6th. So it'll be really a special live stream event, and those that sign up for the live stream event will get the access to the archives to the other shows that we did as a promotion to it, like the Teal and Andrew show, the Chris and brainstorming event we did with Blake, as well as some of the other material that we have especially for promoting this Return to Atlantis event with N5D Media, who
Excellent.
Both Greg and Helena have been absolutely fantastic people.
Yeah, they are working extremely hard to put this together, and it's going to be a particularly special event. There's some tremendous beings coming together for this, Andrew. You know, yourself, Teal, Anelia Benz, Tom Lesher, and others that aren't in my head just at the moment. But
Lisa Renee, too.
Lisa Renee, exactly. These are tremendously knowledgeable people and have a great presence, so it should be a pretty special thing.
And Dr. Dream will be doing his Galactivation on the Crystal Sands Beach, I believe that's Saturday night. And it'll be very special for those that are in attendance. Even for those in the live stream, you'll all be exposed to the wonderful activation of the Crystal Sand Beach.
Excellent. Excellent. We're also hoping to have Quila Pele drop in today, hoping he can make it. We'll see how it goes through the show. He's going to pop in and say hi to everybody. He's been on a journey around the United States. Very interesting story behind that. It's a journey to resolve a whole lot of ancestral karma, but not for himself. He's doing it for many, many other beings as well. Do you want to speak about that for a moment, Andrew?
Sure. People have heard me talk about Lookout Mountain or sign off with Lookout Mountain, and he's a part of that multidimensional organization that warned people that were stuck in a 28-year time loop that timeline incursions were coming, and they were stuck in this 28-year time loop because they were trying to back to an incarnation cycle and so they could get out of the timeline genocides that were going on, and it was a way to put people in suspension that were locked outside of time. And as the Time Wars got greater and greater, it spread beyond Earth, and the more Earth got teleported around, the more the timeline genocide pollution started spreading to thousands and thousands of other worlds. And the Lookout Mountain, the entire concept had to spread from a single planetary concept to a galactic to intergalactic to a universal concept to warn species from around the universe. If you've ever invested a single human, a single strand of DNA within the constructs of the galactic ascension machine, you could be a part of the timeline genocide. If one person went to Earth at one point in history during a timeline genocide, and that entire lineage could be removed in the future from their world, even though their consciousness still existed in the Akashic record of their world or this home world, they were locked outside of the events of co-creation and manifesting the present self. So it was a warning system, and that warning system was very, very important and saved many billions of lives. And after the timeline genocides came to a pause and then finally to an end and then to a restart, KP, many other souls, Hope Girl Chris, the Venusian philosophers, including me, got caught into the incarnation, reincarnation cycle here on Earth on purpose to be a part of the awakening that came deep into the future. But many of us understood that no matter what, there would be a slow descension of Earth species, and we had to stay in the incarnation patterns here, and we had to stay connected to the timeline genocides of Lookout Mountain so that we can warn other species that it didn't matter where you were in the timeline, your species could be erased and replaced. And there needed to be a warning system in place so people can take go to the consciousness timeline fallout shelters, which were pockets of reality that could resist the timeline genocide. And KP, and along with Greg Prescott, were master voices that spoke out to the universe, warning that a timeline incursion was coming, that to take it to your fallout shelter and to expand your consciousness into a bubble of protection. So his spirit voice, Greg's voice, your voice, my voice, those that are part of Lookout Mountain spoke to the universe in such a way that we saved billions, but it was our service to the universe. And now in this future where we are far long removed from the high dimensional, high vibration we were, 500,000 or 50 million years ago, we're all reduced to the lowest common denominator, use your free will or not. And KP and Hope Girl and Chris, they're all using their free will now to use their voice, their vibration, their heart, their intonation to say, we are here and we can be free. In KP's situation, he is traveling to the points of the United States to unravel the energies so that he, in his own expression of this lifetime, can commune to the energies through his lightning spirits that he functions with. And as he's finishing his trip now, he's realizing that the ancestral karma of Lookout Mountain is there. And these are the souls that are still trapped in consciousness fallout shelters waiting to be released. And as his trip ends, he'll have a massive relief party. And as he returns to Hawaii, he'll have another one, because there are always people just outside of time doing the same thing, and he's leading the way with the big thunderstorms of lightning.
In fact, he's just joined us as a matter of absolute perfect timing. So good morning, irony, yes. Good morning, KP. How are you?
Well, good afternoon to you.
Indeed.
I'm very well.
Excellent. Were you aware that Andrew was just speaking about your trip?
Yes, I was. I just tuned in just
at the
proper time. Yeah. And I was even sharing some of this with my auntie, who we had lunch together, and she's very much attuned to what really we're all doing, even though she doesn't know exactly who it is. But she's also connected with connected with her own Native American connections, and she was the first one that told me that actually bloodwise our family does have a connection to the Mohawk Nation. And the lightning is, I kind of was finding it amazing each time. I told her, I went to Washington, D.C., and before I got there, there was this huge thunderstorm and lightning and thunder. And we felt it was, in a way, it was softening up the D.C. area for the arrival of the carrier of the lightning, which appears to be, I guess I'm one of them. And but when Andrew was talking about the you know, carrying that spirit with me. I've felt that way the whole time, and that we've been kind of picking up. I know there's a lot that we're a lot of not only 3D folks, you know, who are manifested in 3D, but there's so many beings that now are traveling. We're all traveling together, unraveling this, whatever you want to call it.
Andrew calls it one of, you know, the hairball of the whole disunity reality time. Let's just call it the time mess. And just for those people who aren't necessarily following your journey, KP's had a very successful blog on the internet for some time and has quite an audience with that. But that was all pretty much from Hawaii until a few months ago, where you felt it was time to do this. And you've actually launched it. You know, what it is in 3D is a road trip in a giant figure-eight configuration right around the United States, going through cities that you feel moved to go through to do what you describe as clearing work. And you're, a bit over halfway around, KP?
Well, I would say geometrically we're about three-quarters of the way.
Mm-hmm.
It seems that this place where I'm at now, which is in the Midwest, it's where my parents call their home. And so, yeah, it became kind of evident to me somewhere along the line that, you know, going up to California, Northern California, into Oregon, down to Chicago area, and then down to the Southeast and up to the Northeast and into Canada a little bit and coming back down, that's like three-quarters of an infinity. And I do sense there will be one trip that's not exactly on that infinity loop that I'll be going probably in a few days. But then I feel very drawn to go to the Southwest, and there's some connections that and I'm probably some clearings that we'll be we'll be doing, working with as we go through the Southwest and probably up through California. And so all of you in California, I'm sure a lot of folks who I've talked with and blogged with in California, I hope to connect with at least a few of you, maybe physically, and then back to the starting point. And so all I can say is, Mattson, be ready for my car.
Yeah, well,
to Hawaii.
You've had a lot of great experiences with people along the way. You've stayed with people that you've only known a little bit through your work on the blog and various other people that have popped up. So there's been a lot of synchronicities around. In fact, particularly where you were going through the Southeast, and you were absolutely exhausted at one point. And there's a couple of folk there of our acquaintance, Sandy and Kim, and you rang up Kim and said, Kim and said, look, really, no, is it that you rang Sandy? Which one did you ring?
No, I did. I knew of Sandy. I had no idea what her number was. I had no idea where exactly she lived. But I knew Kim lived somewhere in the Gulf Coast. So I called her and I said, I was headed for Tallahassee, and I said, I can't make it. I'm not going to make it. My body just, at a rest stop, it had just said no more. And I called Kim, and she said, well, where are you? And I told her where I was, and she said, oh, you're just like 15 minutes from Sandy, and so I'll give you her number, and you can call her, and you can stay overnight at her place. So that was so I got to meet. I stayed a couple nights with Sandy and her husband Chris, and their cats, and then I went down to Kim's in Panama City and stayed with her for a few days. And it's just, the connections have been wonderful. And it seems like in my own particular case, I have a very strong connection with the feline community. And I definitely feel like a feline galactic community. And so she also had a cat there. So we're making all these connections on many, many levels. And so yeah, it's been quite a few. And I do have a couple of nephews that are sort of adopted nephews, and one I went to in Orlando just to visit, but then my tooth flared up, and I had some things that had to be done, and he's a dentist.
Uh-huh.
And so he was one who really, I must thank him. His name is Young. That doesn't narrow it down. There's a lot of Youngs. But he was, he doesn't really know it, but because of him, I'm able to continue the mission. And then when I got up to the D.C. area and we did the D.C. clearings and then into New Jersey, is his brother, younger brother, who works in from a place near New York City in New Jersey. But as soon as I got there, it's amazing. He's not really into any of this stuff, but he said, boy, it just, as soon as you arrived, it felt so much clearer and lighter. And so I really feel a lot of people, even though they might not know what's going on, they kind of pick these things up and they know in at some level that they are a part of this journey as well.
Mm.
So,
Andrew, just to bring you back into the conversation, Andrew, how many beings are really accompanying KP on this really major journey that he's taking?
Before I answer that question, I want to ask KP, what have your dreams like since you started your journey?
Oh, boy. My dreams, oh boy, since I started my journey, my goodness. A lot of times I'm not always aware of the actual content of the dream. I can say that since I've arrived here, three quarters point, my overall I would say my overall state of sleep has been much better, if you want to call it just a physical sleep. So I can't really say what my exact dreams are, but I know that, for example, I slept very well a couple nights ago, extremely well, and I woke up in the morning and it's almost like I wanted to go back to bed again.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of work going on. I can say that. There's a lot of work going on the other side.
That's the representation of how much work you're doing on the other side. The physical body, you, is in full 3D awareness that it must complete the mission. And
right.
Your higher self is aware of the total mission, but it is you, the ever-present, mighty I Am Self, that procreates and creates the turns, the filling of the gas. It is the money, the exchange for value to create the trip and the life that you led before to make sure you could leave the trip. It was you that put your car and transferred it over to the United States so you could drive around with a Hawaiian license plate. It's you, the I Am Present Self, making the choice point decisions to say, I am changing this. Now, to answer Chris's question, there's 2,732,306 people that are functioning with you right now. Okay?
Wow.
And they're always there in your crown chakra. They're always there functioning at 1 degree of separation of you. Now, Chris has heard me talk about this 1 degree of separation. Each and every person you have ever met in your entire life, each and every person that has ever visited your blog, each and every person you ever spoke to on the phone, is 1 degree of separation for you. So that means all these people that are in your crown chakra are functioning on the spirit world to make sure the spirit world's within 1 degree of separation from you, so that the I Am Present Self knows in his heart of hearts, turn left, go north, wait for the thunderstorm, I'm tired, the synchronicities are abounding, get out of my own way and allow the universe to function with me in a creative way.
Mm. The synchronicities are quite amazing. KP rang me out of the blue a day and a half ago, and we talk very occasionally, so every time he calls I pay attention, and one of the things he said to me is he wasn't sure how he was supposed to end this. He knew he had to go to back to where he started, but wasn't sure what to do. And I pulled Andrew into the conversation, and that often is not successful because Andrew is so busy, but he was there and he was able to tell tell you,
Hawaii.
KP, yeah, he was able to, he's in Hawaii where you came from, which is fascinating in itself.
Right.
But he was able to tell you exactly how to actually end the ritual. So you got your question answered virtually within about 1 minute of kind of posing it.
Yes.
And
well, it was, and it was, I mentioned that I said, well, so I can anticipate any time I call Chris, I'll be talking with Andrew.
It seems that way at the moment.
We're all connected.
Yeah.
We're all connected.
Well, I had a wonderful connection yesterday. I was trying to find the phone number to speak to Hope about being on the show today, because she's going to be popping in the second half. I strongly hope that. And I thought I'd found it in my, actually as part of a text call that I'd received. So I hit the number and it actually wasn't her. It was an energy worker that had come to see her when she was here in Melbourne with me. But he was on Skype with her and Pepe when I called. So I had my question answered immediately and I didn't even call her. So, you know, the synchronicity.
Well, that's pretty synchronistic.
Oh, yeah. It was.
Well, the 1 degree of separation, I you know, it's a fascinating concept, because I'm finding that even now, you know, I love my parents as parents and as people, as human beings. We're very pretty much 3D oriented, pretty much completely, but they always seem to, my father seems to intuitively know that he'll say, well, Brad, I think you might be good to, I'll get your oil change for you and have them do a full check on your car. And I think you might want to check, see if your tires need rotating. And when I was in Panama City, I fortuitously picked up a nail in my tire. So I had about a half flat the day I was going to leave Panama City, and Kim pointed me to a Pep Boys, and we got that repaired. But my dad just told me today, he said, well, I talked to the guy who, you know, his real close friend that has a little local shop here, and he said he recommended you get a boot instead of just having the plug. So he said, go over here and get a boot on, meaning it's an internal thing, I guess, that makes a better seal and permanent repair. But it's amazing. I'm loving it. It's amazing. Like, he just tunes in and he says, yes, do this, and this will help your journey. So he knows somewhere at that one, whatever that, you know, that 1 degree of separation, if you want to call it that. It's
spirit guide. Those
absolutely.
Those are the spirit guides working with their higher self, saying this person will be there, and all you have to do is be your honest, heartfelt person.
Well, all I can say is each moment, each part of this is really, I call it a blast. And when I left Detroit and found out the next morning that there literally was a blast in Detroit that blew some manhole covers off in the business district of Detroit.
Mm-hmm. Well, the first part of your name actually means the lightning, doesn't it? Kwile?
Kwile.
Kwile.
The meaning for me, it can mean electricity, or it can mean the lightning. And to me, it means the lightning, electricity. So, it just seems like I said, and I've always loved lightning. I've always loved to watch it. And but it definitely, there have been times here when it's like I'm driving right into it. And I feel very, very much at, you know, at one with the whole process. So so it's a blast.
It is a blast. And Andrew, just to identify that 28-year period that KP is actually reconciling for over 2 million beings, how long ago was that, if you can point to it?
That began 51 million years ago.
So that was right at the start of this whole timeline issue that we're all caught up in.
Right. It took 2 million years for it to go from one planet to the inside of our galaxy, and then to spread to the rest of the galaxies, and then to be a near universal destruction event.
A near universal.
So many DNA lines that it didn't matter. If you were a consciousness explorer, at some point in your galactic revolutionary scale of time, you would run across a linear time human DNA timeline genocide or any of those planets that were attached to it. And through one degree of separation, just by touching the timeline genocide by visitation, you could have yourself erased, which would erase your original being off your homeworld.
Wow. And that was that the point at which all of the planets that were caught up in it were moved here 52 million years
yes.
ago?
Yes, that was 490,000 years ago that the galactic ascension machine was done. What was done before that is these planets were moved around like big chess pieces and teleported to far points away from sentience where there nothing existed, so that the timeline incursions took a very long time to create a massive pulse of a time wave, and it wouldn't affect blank Akashic record worlds because it was looking for erasures for DNA signatures that were related to the original erasures. So they would be teleporting these planets, but at the same time Earth, which was the grandest prize in the universe, was being teleported back into these major populated areas to act as a trap planet to lure people onto it, to literally erase timelines or to erase the ascended masters of other worlds.
So Earth was being used as a weapon at that point.
Absolutely. I've described that in the Lance White interviews, as well as the interviews on Walking in Energy. I described specifically how the type of warfare on a galactic level, I mean, we're not talking troops and guns, we're talking planets used as traps to lure souls into a reincarnation cycle so that they could be change their DNA on a soul level by mass investing souls from another planet who are dark energy programmed or light energy programmed or war programmed, and thus your species has that in your DNA, and you must follow that lineage or figure out your free will way to get out of it. All the while, your energy is being deceived by its basic free wills as the layers of reality are being changed, so you're trapped and trapped by a belief system and a reality that you can't break out of unless you choose to be a consciousness explorer and reclaiming all your sovereign free will.
Extraordinary. 12 times Earth was teleported?
Correct. And each time it was nearly killed when it was teleported.
And the beings that we're dealing with on this planet, were they always responsible for the teleportation, or were there different groups doing
it? No. They would manipulate the other light and dark beings to do it for them.
Mm-hmm.
They're puppeteers.
Mm.
They want to stay one degree of separation and use people's free will through propaganda and influence to do the work for them. Because the karma, it goes to that lineage.
Quite the trap.
Master manipulation on a galactic scale, because they are the ones that are challenging the Prime Creator.
So when the Earth was brought here and this whole solar system was quarantined along with other planets that were involved in this exercise, it forced the action just to exist in a little corner of this galaxy.
Correct. And it unified the light and the dark beings to resolve this, because entire lineages of angel and light and dark spirits were being eliminated too. If you eliminate an entire species through timeline genocide, those angelic or demonic or light or dark species that are associated with them disappear too.
Affecting the whole of creation.
Absolutely.
So it's not exactly Star Wars as in, large ships. Although in Star Wars, there's the planetary-sized ship, the Death Star, which is fairly symbolic fairly important in the whole symbology of the Star Wars series, which is really indicating, warfare on a galactic scale. But and although it was soft disclosure, it wasn't that specific as to describe the reality, which is what you're describing, something quite different.
So what Star Wars did was brought in the metaphysical to science fiction.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the big soft disclosure of Star Wars.
The fact that the Jedi actually had that, those mental abilities and that connection.
Well, metaphysical. Let's just call it metaphysical. Mm-hmm. Because it is a movie with all sorts of books that are added on that are people that are highly creative and procreative people. that in some sense are doing their own self-disclosure because their creativity is reaching into creation itself. We live in a reality where we can create our realities, but there's a facade reality that gives us belief structures we're born into. And until we confront those belief structures and remove the energetic charges from them, as well as our soul investment over many thousands of lifetimes to reclaim our free will, the facade is a real wall. You know, if you're looking at a green screen on a, you know, with a news reporter standing in front of a weather map, you know it's a green screen. But if you were outside and someone created an illusion of a wall, till you physically touched it, you would never know it was an illusion. And your belief structure would make it real. It's really easy to deceive the eyes, really easy to deceive the senses. And we are a sensory being with all the five senses intertwined to a sixth sense that's been deceived to see only the five senses. Mm-hmm. So our facade reality, we made real. And that's the layers of domination and control coming in at the cultural level, at the science level, at the spiritual level, making sure that the facade is believed into reality.
Mm. Yeah, that's the conclusion that I've come to, that we've been tricked into manifesting this reality.
Absolutely. We have.
We have.
And that was the entire point of reading the 54 million year timeline war. You know, for the vast majority of people that are having a difficult time with it, well, you're still paying attention to the material because something in it is nagging at you. There is one piece you need out of the concept. It may not even be the entire concept, and for others it is just the concept of itself that unravels. Like for KP's scenario, you know, he needed to know about the ancestral release at the end, but he also needed to know that there were beings out there that are working with him that he already knew, as well as the journey he's doing is very old and is resolving many, many spiritual things that he's gone through in other lifetimes where the I am self is trapped somewhere else, and using the dream field of Earth through one degree of separation to say, I'm with you, brother.
Mm. And it sounds to me like the final part of KP's journey, when he returns to Hawaii, he'll be able to have that final party with you guys, because you'll probably still be there.
That's correct.
So KP, sounds like a big party in Hawaii too.
Pardon, I didn't catch that last bit.
Well, I was just saying, you Andrew actually sort of asked you to have a ceremony
with
the ancestors before you left the continental United States, and then repeat it when you get to Hawaii. And if he in the group is still there, it'll be them too.
Yes. Well, yeah,
we'll have
my
a big
own
roast.
Yeah, a big luau. You know, it's like
that's right.
Yeah, I just. Well, I don't know how long. I mean, you folks are going to be there, but
we're moving here.
It's just. The important thing for me, there's a few key places that I feel I need to go before I do the final quarter of the infinity, and a couple key places that I will be going, and so I know that. It needs to be completed, as we would say, in perfection. In perfection meaning as I'm guided, or as I'm perceiving it from the higher guidance. And so, you know, we'll just go and do it. And there's the connections that are being made are just, I mean, I'm continually thrilled and just amazed and surprised in some ways. But knowing that these are going to continue, and I'm just really, really looking forward to the party here before I leave, and then the parties when we get back to Hawaii. So it's going to be fun. So no matter where we are, we'll all be participating in that party, and besides which, I have a Costco membership, so I'm able to get nice cakes and good meat and things like that for people for party. So
mm-hmm.
Party supplies will be available. I think that the thing that really, you know, when Andrew, the last time I called and I got onto accidentally was on I think it was the 25th of July, when I first Andrew first mentioned this, the grand scope of this journey, that was when it really started to connect what was really going on, and the complete picture. So all I can say is we're gonna continue, and I want to thank everyone who has come along in whatever way it is, and just continue to send your light and love and whatever you want to send, continue that, and we're all on this journey together. That's the key point that I realized shortly after starting it. This is not my own personal journey, but it includes now, millions of beings traveling together, and we'll have a Chicago or New York size delegation by the time we get back to Hawaii. So let's go for it.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah, because I remember when you first mentioned that you needed to do this, you felt really moved to do this trip, because I know that the work you did in Hawaii was just by how you felt, and there you were, in Hawaii, you literally had to ship your car back to the U.S. And these are no small things, it's a big thing to be doing what you're doing. And to be moved to do something of that scale has to have a big reason behind it, and as it's now being revealed, it's a very big reason.
Yes, it definitely was, and I'd never had the sense before that I was done. I mean, basically, the phase that I was in Hawaii clearly was over, done, and that happened maybe back in December 12th. 12-12, I kind of knew that I was over. It was over. And then maybe a couple months later, I really got that, there would be a move coming up, and in the next month or so, I kind of got the approximate time that I needed to leave, and started making arrangements and all this and all that. Yes, it was well worth whatever we had to go through to come over here, and it's really with everyone else coming along with me via the blog or whatever, it's been a priceless journey, and it continues. You can't put any value on it. It's a huge mission, and it's just, what can I say? I mean, it's just, I love it.
Mm-hmm.
We all love it.
Mm. Now, it's been great to be along on the way, because everyone who's been reading your blog and listening to your occasional interviews, feels like they're involved, I think, which is great. And really look forward to hearing the end. We'll have to try and do a broadcast when you're back in Hawaii.
And put it
out there so everyone else can share in it as well. That'll be tremendous.
Absolutely. So,
for those people that have been following your blog or those people that are listening now, there's a little shaman's trick you can do to help send KP some dream energy or some lightning energy. All roads in the United States are interlinked through sacred geometry, and you can use that to your advantage. You can get a piece of paper and write your blessings and greetings to KP and his journey, and you go out to any road, and you simply put that note under a little rock, and you let it be there. And that energy will find its way to him by one degree of separation.
Wow.
Oh boy.
There you have it.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Mm.
Well, thank you much. And yes, we'll just continue. We're just continue as guidance says. What can I say? I think it really is all of us. And so that makes it a lot easier too for me, because I realize that this is not just my own personal thing, and it's for all of us. So
it is. It's
amazing.
For everyone's benefit. It's for everyone's benefit.
Mm, tremendous. Look, it's really fascinating to have this kind of information revealed. You're reaching back through over 50 million years of history, and helping people, bringing people out literally of more or less a trap, and fantastic. And so I had a feeling there was something really, really important going on when you were felt moved to do what you did. And now we're getting that information.
Yeah.
It's really, really, it's actually a real privilege to actually be part of KP. It really is.
Well, it's you know, we're all working. We're, like Andrew said, you know, we're doing this for humanity, and this is our, if you want to call it service, but it's almost like it's such a joyful service that it just feels like, wow. How,
yeah.
I mean, it's like we're all having such a great time, and it's kind of like that joy that to me, a very important part of it is just being in joy and following the joy, following the passion, the guidance, and sharing what we go through really helps to connect everyone. And so we'll just keep it up.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll follow along as you go. Please call in to the shows if you're around when it works out, when the synchronicity kicks in.
Yeah.
And we'll be right there with you to the send off ceremony in the United States, and then, you know, the final party in Hawaii. And any idea for a feeling of what are you feeling about, you know, when that final move to Hawaii will take place? Is it going to be a month or a couple of months?
I have a feeling it's probably on the order of a month or a month and a half, ballpark. I have probably a week or 10-day trip coming up, and possibly one more, maybe about a week trip before I head to the Southwest. So it does appear to be about, I would say, probably a month and a half. So we'll say maybe the end of October or early November, I'd be back in the on the islands. But that's just, you know, following guidance one moment at a time. That can always change.
Mm. Tremendous. Well, KP, we're just coming up to the end of the first hour, and
perfect.
It's perfect timing. Really glad you could drop in. You know, the timing's worked out exactly as it needed to, and the information about your trip is now out there. And you know, I just know that the support you'll get for the rest of the trip, rest of the journey, will be exactly what you need it to be.
Well, maybe would you mind if I just mention here the title of the blog, in case people don't know?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, go for it.
Well, it's kawilapele.wordpress.com. And that first word is spelled KAUILAPELE, Kawilapele. So if you want to follow along, that's where to check it out.
Excellent.
And thank you much.
It does include little videos that you shoot along the way and just put up on the site. So we're getting a running commentary as you go. Yeah. Yeah, it's great.
Thank you, YouTube. Thank you, YouTube and iPhone and WordPress.
Oh, so. It's brilliant stuff. Really brilliant, the way that we communicate so easily, you know, to large numbers of people with, you know, really quite simple tools these days. So KP, because I mean, just in case
Aloha.
People are running, everyone refers to you just as KP most of the time, because Kawilapele is a bit hard for people to get their mouths around at times. KP,
yeah,
easier. KP is it. So thank you so much for dropping in. Is there any, Andrew, is there anything, any final points you wanted to bring out with KP's journey?
Good luck on your trip. Thousands and billions of people are in the 3D world following you, listening to your words. You started a blog quite some time ago, and it went from a blog to something procreative and helpful to millions of people that were looking to express. You followed your karma, your soul wisdom. You're doing the right thing, brother. Keep on trucking.
Well, thank you much. Thank you so much. And same to both of you. And continue I really love the Galactic History shows. And I really feel this is an essential service to humanity on all levels. This is the time for all this to come out. And for people to connect with what's really going on and what needs to be done. So with that, I'll say aloha to all of you, and thank you again.
Aloha. Aloha, Kapi.
Aloha.
Speak to you soon. Whew. Tremendous. Great timing. Perfect.
Absolutely. Beautiful call. Beautiful soul, KP. You know, he's a classic example of somebody who stood up into his power, and his power said, put a WordPress together, put a blog together, share this information, connect and communicate to the people that are the movers and shakers of that time, promote them, start a blog, get people communicating, get people talking. And that's what he did, to the point where they're all talking enough that his higher will spirit came to the realization he needed to leave Hawaii and to do his grand journey.
Yeah, that's really, really following one's instinct, which is really, really important, I think, at this time in history. I think follow your nose, follow your gut, follow your heart, because that's where the real message about your particular trajectory is to be found inside you at this moment of time. So with that thought in mind, we'll take a quick break, a bathroom break, with my favorite piece of music, because I really feel like it now. And we will see you in about 4 minutes. Cheers. Hi and welcome back. That music for me is just like just long breaths in and out. It's very, very pleasant to listen to. The second part of the show here, we actually have another guest with us today. And this is someone that's very special to all of us, who has been here in this country pushing on with her work of fixing the world. Good morning, Hope. How are you? Have to unmute.
Good morning, everyone. Yep, sorry. Good morning, everyone. I am doing wonderful and truly enjoying my time here and the people that I have been meeting and the amazing changes that I see unfolding right before my eyes because of the work that we're doing.
Yeah, Hope, we've done a couple of updates, which have, at least two updates, and been updating your progress on the shows. But things are happening so much every day for you. I'm almost feeling like we should be doing one every 2 days instead of every 4 days.
Yes, I think about things in terms of that was only 24 hours ago, and the amount of things that have happened in that 24 hours is enough activity to take up an entire week. That's how intensive this trip has been, and successful as well.
Mm. Excellent. Now, one of the big bits of news that you had for us was that the first meeting you had in Sydney included some elders from one of the Maori tribes that actually live in on the eastern seaboard of this country. And that was quite significant for you.
It was very significant. It was an incredible experience because we had a Fix the World meeting that was hosted by the Maori people. And while there, the meeting went so well. We fixed the world as an organization and as our mission for what we're trying to do. We received an official blessing from the Maori people. And in addition to that, myself and Pepe, we were personally adopted into the Maori tribe, given Maori names, and connected to the land. After the meeting, we went and visited a sacred Maori site where their ancestors are buried. And it was just an absolutely heartfelt, moving experience. In this case, I believe this is our first connection on this level with Indigenous peoples as an organization. So that was really very significant to me and to the Fix the World organization, because that's why we're here, to join everyone together in a common cause to save this planet.
Look, it's fantastic you've made that connection to, it sounds like it's going to be more than one Indigenous group too, to the Maori groups, but and you've got another meeting today with some Aboriginal groups as
yes.
Well.
We will be, later on today, we'll be traveling and we'll be staying with an Aboriginal shaman who is representative of many Aboriginal people in this area. And so I'm really looking forward to that also, to make that connection.
And you've been holding meetings but in every location you've moved to. You've had people coming to the meetings, interacting with you, talking about projects, talking about, you know, their own personal journeys. And it actually sounds incredibly intense, but you and Pepe seem to be just going with it, and I haven't detected any real tiredness in either of you, you know, through the whole trip. So it must be incredibly energizing as well.
It is, and I'm actually a little.
Sorry, Andrew.
Pepe is staying. Pepe. Bad joke, sorry.
Pepe is staying. Pepe, yes. I didn't quite hear you.
the joke was lost a little in the somewhat poor connection, but yeah, we do get that. Yeah, Pepe, and Pepe actually does stay. Pepe. Pepe is just a rock for Hope.
Yes.
Great job, Pepe. Doing fantastic work.
I couldn't do it without her, that's for sure. And I also just need to mention the rest of the Fix the World Council, who are not with us on this trip, but who are working diligently behind the scenes to keep us connected, to keep the operations running while Pepe and I are out on the road. and that would be Val, Gons, and Angela. All five of us have just dedicated our hearts and our lives to this mission. So I want to make sure that they get mentioned too.
Absolutely. And one of the things that's come up in the last week, Hope, and I haven't had a chance to discuss this with you actually till now, but I will, because it's something people need to be aware of. In the teleseminar between Andrew and Till last week, one of the things that was strongly put forward was using Till's consciousness-raising artwork on billboards and buses as soon as possible, as widely as possible. And I strongly suspect one of the best ways to promote that would be through your Fix the World site, because of the project-based nature and the fact that you're actually including crowdsourcing in the facilities. And because we've already had a couple of offers of people who are involved in the printing industry to support that. So if we can put the word out there, I think we'll get both monetary support and direct support for the physical process involved, which is, you know, literally printing posters and mounting them, through your Fix the World site. And you might want to just talk about the launch of that site for a minute too, for those that might not be aware of it.
Yes, absolutely. So just to go back to the beginning, for anyone who's tuning in fresh and hasn't heard anything about our organization, Fix the World is it's an organization that's based on humanitarian projects. And these projects run the gamut for all different areas of the human endeavor. So we've got technology, spirituality, education, food supply, the list goes on and on. And we have just launched a new website, which is a pretty complex platform. It's actually several websites rolled into one. And what it is it's a place where we've just created the space for people to come and join the community and join up with different groups. It has functions very much like Facebook, so you can friend people on the Fix the World platform, send private messages, and schedule events and hold, not webinars yet, but you can hold events like Skype calls and meetings, and we are trying to incorporate in some webinar technology as well. So basically what it is a way, it's a matchmaking platform where people can come and meet others that share their visions and network and organize and put all of their ideas into projects. And for those people who, you know, maybe they need just a little bit of assistance in trying to figure out how to organize your idea into a project, we will be having different courses on there to help people teach themselves to walk through that basic business process where they can create a business plan and a project schedule and cost out a budget, and also learn how to present their projects in a way that will make it easy to communicate their ideas to the people that would like to support them. So we have some of those tools built in, as well as a project gallery where you can present your project to the world. And then we have an additional platform that is for called Crowd Ventures. And so once your project is organized and ready to go, you can put that project up on the Crowd Ventures website and promote that to people in whatever community that it is that you're on, via social media, Facebook, LinkedIn, blogging, whatever it might be. Promote that campaign out there and raise funds to fund your project from the people on the planet. And crowdfunding has been very successful. As a matter of fact, that's the reason why I'm here now, is because I put together a crowdfunding campaign and multiple people, a couple hundred people, pitched in a little bit of money so that we can raise the money that we needed to come here and do this work. So it seems to be one of the most successful ways to fund your projects or ideas, because there has been, you know, some difficulty getting funding. That seems to be everyone's main problem, is finding the funding, and the old traditional ways of finding those investments or supporters. You know, a lot of the money seems to be drying out in those areas. So the wealth is in the people, and this is just one avenue of funding projects, is through crowdfunding.
And you've had a wealth of support on your way around on this trip. You've been essentially, I don't think you've had to, have you actually had to stay at a motel at any point in the trip at this stage?
No, I have not. I'm actually, at this moment, it's been an interesting trip because it's been a mix of business meetings with pretty high-level business advisors, and then also holding Fix the World community meetings in people's homes. So we've really run the gamut of the different types of people that we've been meeting and staying with. And currently, we just had another day-long meeting with another business advisor on the Sunshine Coast. And I am currently speaking to you from a very, very large, amazing, beautiful house. So.
Yeah, sounds good. Sounds good. Look, one thing we must mention too about your website is that the one of the other aspects of the website is a specific part set aside for communities to actually have a presence so that they can link up with one another.
Yes.
It's quite important, that one. So communities like the Conjola community that you visited in New South Wales about a week ago. Was it a week ago now? It seems like a year. had a fantastic time, hooked up with Lisa Harrison and John Van Newton and various other people to, you know, check the site out and get to know the people. Another great little event in the trip, and also the Ecotel community not far away from there. And all of these communities are finding one another more and more speed, and through the connection on the website, we'll be able to go international.
Yes, absolutely. And what I want to say also, and this is really important, is I'd like to express to the people what has been happening in these community meetings on an energetic level. So basically the format is I talk a little bit about my background and then the background of the Fix the World organization and talk about the new website. Then we do a group activity where we break off into groups and try to go through a mock project together to learn what it's like to work together. And then we do a round robin of sharing where each person has a space created for them to say, this is the vision that I've been given. This is what I want to do to help this planet. And then from there, the networking really kicks off because you find that there's someone who's working in permaculture. There's another person who's working in permaculture that they haven't met before. Now they're meeting each other. They're networking. They're organizing. And basically, you're just finding the right people to work with. On an energetic level, what I'm seeing is many people who have been individual, who have felt isolated during this time as our consciousness is increasing, people are given visions. They're given gifts. And basically ideas of what they can do. And these are internal inspirations. And as they come out and this creativity is occurring, they need a little bit of support of figuring out how to organize it so that they can manifest it and anchor it in our reality. It's very, very important. And they also need to network with like-minded people. That's exactly what's happening in these meetings. And some of the stuff that we're talking about is very sensitive information. It's not just a good idea that would be widely supported by everyone everywhere. These are ideas that have a history of being suppressed. Ideas like free energy devices and things that cure cancer that go up against big pharma. So we have this opportunity for people to meet in each other's living rooms in a safe environment so that we can share those visions, we can organize together, and this is exactly what we're calling, it's like we're facilitating a global evolution in these meetings on a grassroots level, and this is how the people are going to be rising up in their own consciousness so that we can change this planet and make these things happen. So it's quite magical to be right in the midst of it and to be able to see it, because I personally look forward, you know, maybe a few years in the future when things are up and running and things have changed, and I just see that this is the beginning right here in these meetings where we give people the sovereign space to, you know, claim their own free will, stand in their own sovereignty, and use their creativity and anchor it in reality.
Yeah, your very first meeting of that kind here on your trip, was that the Melbourne meeting? Was that the very first group meeting that you had? Or was there
yes,
one before
was.
That? Yeah, that was quite magical. And as you say, talk about networking, there was about 20 people. And at the point in the meeting where we started to speak about what we felt our individual journeys were, as soon as that that section of it had completed, there were people in the room making a beeline for one another to say, hey, you know, I'm into raw food too, and, you know, we need to talk. And there were, I could just hear the conversations going on in several places in the room. And, you know, that's one-on-one direct networking, and hope that's just a fantastic thing that you're doing for everybody, making that, or, you know, creating the space for that to actually happen. Andrew, I wanted to ask you, you know, we were just talking to KP before the break, and what looked like an interesting, just an interesting road trip he felt compelled to do has turned out to be something on a rather a huge and significant scale. I'm just wondering, is the journey that Hope's on of a similar kind, has it got its roots back in history, or is it just the mission that Hope came here to fulfill?
It's a very, very similar mission. It's a very, very similar mission. Hold on, I got a bunch of winds blowing at me on the back porch here. It's a similar mission. Hope Girl is also part of the broadcast organization that's known as Lookout Mountain, similar to you, and where you're broadcasting to the consciousness explorers that are in Timeline Fallout shelters, and it's something that's being done on a mass scale. And part of Hope's tour, the reason she is in Australia right now, is the last hope for Earth was the Dreamtime Grid of Australia. In 1616, when the Dreamtime Grid of Australia was cracked and the spiritual invasion came, as I've spoke about Australia being an actual timeline incursion vessel, it can actually, the entire continent can leave the planet and go anywhere in the universe. It's vital that Hope went there first to recreate the energetic connections to those people that were forced out of the timeline grid in and around Australia so that the spiritual invasion could take over at the dream world level. And what Hope Girl is doing is reconnecting those individual souls that part of their soul shards are still locked in a timeline fallout shelter. And her presence is merely a light that shows those shards there's a way back to their original I Am Presence self.
Wow.
Thank you, Andrew. I'd like to share for anyone listening, just, I knew that I was supposed to come to Australia. I knew that at the beginning of this year. I wasn't quite sure when I would end up here. I felt a deep longing and calling. And then when the time was right, everything fell into place. And as I've been here on this journey, personally, on a daily basis, I clear my space, I tune in, and I just try to really observe exactly what's happening here, because I know that what I'm doing here is going to affect great change in the lives of the individual people, and that there's a much bigger plan for what I'm doing here. And Andrew, you just really explained it. So I really want to thank you for that, because it gives me incredible strength to continue on with the rest of this mission.
Well, all the members of Lookout Mountain are coming back to reality. And I'm filled with tears at this moment, because 38 million years ago, both me, you, and Chris were in a timeline incursion, and we were in Mars trying to do a massive broadcast to the universe, warning that creation was in danger. And there were a group of both light and dark entities who didn't want us to do anything. They said that it was the free will of the universe, that if creation was to be uncreated, that it should be stopped. And there was a physical intervention to prevent us to giving a warning that creation was in danger, and the beings that were 1, 2, and 3 degrees of separation of the prime creator were still in the ideology of non-interference, that the micro beings must just stand up and use their free will to stop this anti-creation effect. And there was a scenario where both Hope and Chris were murdered and removed from their fallout timeline fallout shelters, and me and along with a number of others, the Lookout Mountain crew, which was reduced to less than a few thousand, had to split ourselves into a million beings and spread out to a million worlds and risk our entire divinity path of creation to make sure that all of creation heard the words. And we're coming back together now in such a way that no matter what they try, no matter how hard they try, they will not stop us. They will not stop us.
I'm really feeling that. I have to say, I've been feeling that on this whole journey, that we are unstoppable and that we are, you know, divinely protected. And I just keep going with the flow of the energy. I mean, on this trip alone, we've tried to make plans and a schedule, but it's just been the guidance has been given to me to just leave it as open as we can for the energy to flow. So sometimes someone will ask me, what are you doing tomorrow or 2 days from now? And I'll just say, there's no way I can possibly tell you. Because there's
exactly
no way to,
how it is for me.
Yeah, because there's no way that we can really put a rigid plan on this trip, because we need to let the energy flow. That's the only way to do this.
I'm somewhat speechless yet again, because the connection that both Hope and I have, and that we both have with Andrew, has been so direct and compelling. I knew that there had to be something really going on there, and what you've just brought out absolutely confirms that, and absolutely confirms why I'm here in Australia and why Hope's here in Australia. And
why there's a big connection of Australians reconnecting the world.
Yeah,
Lisa Harrison coming out. All of those Australians, Scott Bartlett, all of those Australians that are fighting the facade of reality, saying it's fake.
Yeah, very, very strong crew down here. And once we're finished with Hope, there's something else that I'll bring out about a little project that we've got going on at the moment that I want to promote. That's going to hit Facebook later in the week, but we'll leave that issue aside for the moment. But yeah, look, there's a very strong contingent down here. When we were working on the courtesy notices program earlier in the year, with Heather Tucci and Lisa and all the other guys on Lisa's network, we freaked the hell out of the powers that were, as they say, just by the sheer amount of energy that was released from down here. And Australia is appearing to be pretty important in this global movement that we're all a part of.
Chris, remember when I was telling you about the entire vessel that's Australia, that the continent can literally unmanifest and be on other worlds, that it is a consciousness exploration vehicle?
Oh, yes. I haven't forgotten that one, Andrew. that looms large.
Would you care to recall some of that for Hope in your intonation and vibration? And there's a very, very specific reason, because this applies to Hope Girl as well as the people that she's going to be meeting in the next few weeks. This is all about a one degree of separation presentation.
Well, the consciousness, this entire continent is a consciousness exploration vessel. It can leave physically, it can leave etherically, and it requires that the people of this continent be in unity consciousness in order for this consciousness exploration vehicle to actually function. And I actually think part of your journey, Hope, is to help bring us to unity consciousness on this continent as one people.
Think of it as a grapevine. You have pods of grapes. You're seeding the grapevines so that a bunch of grapevines can come together and be the entire grapevine. You know, it starts somewhere. It starts with a seed, and you are planting the seeds so those individual soul seeds can recover their soul shards. On the continent of Australia now are over 900 consciousness fallout shelters. In each and every city you go to, you are freeing those trapped souls. You're doing it on a dreamtime level, because your soul has a specific DNA light body pattern that is the key to unlocking the timeline fallout shelters block codes. Okay? Every step you take, you are helping people reconnect to their soul shards.
Again, wow.
I'd like to just speak to that too. When I'm at these meetings, I mean, I literally have, I've had a few days that have been 18-hour days of, from the moment I wake up to the moment I go to sleep, I am talking, or I have people who come to me who want to talk to me, and the energy, I'll hold a meeting and I'll speak about my story, and then people start to open up. And when they come up to me and they start engaging in a conversation with me, and they sort of latch on. And the energy I feel from them is—it's as if they have been in a cage for all of this time, and I'm the first person they've had a conversation with in the last however many years of their life. That's the kind of energy that comes from these beings when they come up and speak to me. And this has been happening back to back to back. I've met over 100 people, I'd say at this point probably maybe 150 in a week. And those are individual people that I've had conversations with, and they've all been the same vibe. Like, I've just been released from jail, and I can finally express myself for the first time. So that really helps to solidify that for me. Thank you so much again.
You're welcome. Mm-hmm. Here's a great karmic gift for you. Before you return to the States, you know, there's going to be a place that you stop, and you're going to connect to the original unity consciousness drive, and the drive system. It's a physical system that has the remnants of the last unity consciousness. And it's going to be like a dream world inside a dream world, where you connect to the old unity consciousness, and it's going to be a template for you to present to the United States when you do your U.S. tour, your Canada tour, your Europe tour. And that template is reconnecting each continent to the unity consciousness drive that is Australia.
Mm. Whoo.
Well, you just gave me the order.
No, you're not alone in this. I know that you're not alone in this. For each person you help uncage, 1,000 more wake up. And for every 1,000 that wake up, there's another 1,000,000 waiting to be incarnated here to help.
Pebble in the pond, Hope.
Right.
Very, very big pebble. That's tremendous. There was something so synchronistic about the way that Hope's tour was funded, Andrew. She really felt the need to get here quickly. And although she didn't quite make it to the initial meeting at Conjola, she made it to a second meeting, which was just as important. And the burst of energy that came out of, almost miraculously out of nowhere, it just shouted at me that this was supposed to happen.
I remember her doing the banking revocations, and then a week later she did a donation drive and was on her way.
Mm.
Yep.
The way that it
worked. Read that energy from your field, and the field said, here you go. Here's your journey. Just be willing to love the journey.
Well, I think we're all loving the journey, actually. It's been fantastic, fantastic to observe. And everyone that I've spoken to that's been with her, been with Hope, has had a great experience each time. And there's another week or so to go, Hope?
Yeah, a little more than a week. So, goodness, I just can't wait to see what happens next.
Yeah, well, there's still some significant things to happen. So, look, we'll catch up to you next week on this show again, hey? And we'll just do a final broadcast from Australia.
Excellent.
With you. It's great to have you in the same time zone, actually, even. You know, we've managed to be in the same room for some time, but at least you're not, 12 hours distant and 12,000 miles distant.
Absolutely.
Does make it a little easier to be this way. But look, everyone that's met with Hope so far has been inspired and moved, and that is still going on. And Andrew, it's really interesting that Hope's connected so quickly with the indigenous groups here, who are obviously absolutely part of the unity consciousness aspect of Hope's tour.
Absolutely. They are the ones that are 1 degree of separation of every fallout shelter. They know that they're locked in there, and those are these ancestors that can't ascend, and those are also the ancestors that are trying to teach through the dream world of unity consciousness, of brotherhood and sisterhood, and the connection to the Earth Mother. So when Hope Girl arrives with the consciousness exploration codes to unlock the fallout shelter, it was just exactly as you said, caged people that are now released.
Hmm. Yeah.
It's like the completion of the soul code that I have. Hope's purpose is to unlock the fallout shelters that are around the world. And that's the Save the World campaign. Give them hope.
Hmm. Look, the synchronicities actually began well over a year ago for you, Hope. And you've just been projected into a completely different path. I mean, you know, 18 months ago, you were still employed in the company that you actually kind of ran aground on.
I know. I think about that I was sitting in a cubicle and, you know, crunching numbers and just in that world. And here I am now. I mean, I never would have guessed it back then, but it's amazing. The other thing too, that's amazing is, you know, like this particular trip, this is the first one. And I have been seeing this, visualizing it, manifesting it, intending it for almost a year. And to actually be here doing it, it's just such validation of the power of, you know, stepping into your own power and manifesting things and intending things in your life. Because it's just beautiful to see. It's like, yes, we can do anything. We can make anything happen.
And a moment ago, Andrew spoke of your American tour, Canadian tour, European tour. This is just what you're doing at the moment is just the beginning.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think, and it's wonderful that Andrew said it in that order as well, because the next tour that I feel coming on is the U.S. tour. So now I know where I'm going after the U.S., I guess Canada and then Europe.
No doubt.
Right. There are over 123,000 timeline fallout shelters still left in the world, with some of the most ancient soul shards waiting to be reconnected. In each step in your journey, you're going to see more powerful, more powerful, more powerful people come forward and say, we want the truth, and we want freedom, and all you have to do is enjoy your journey and continue to promote what Hope Girl is. Save the world.
Yeah, fantastic. And speaking of wanting truth, I think I just feel moved to actually mention this while Hope's on air. And she's aware of this already, because the article was actually mentioned on the repurposing show earlier this week, which is probably the most major newspaper in this country put out a full page ad, and I just want to read out what they put on here, because it just blows me away every time I read it. It's just a few paragraphs, and it's essentially a statement from the paper saying that they are truth seekers. So I'll just read it out word for word here. It says, "Seek out the truth. This thought has guided generations of journalists to the core of a story. By following the money, they expose illicit favors, corruption, and behaviors that tear at the heart of democracy. Our journalists have a proud history of asking the question that needs to be asked. What of news organizations? Does the source of their revenue and profit affect how they seek out the facts and present them? Why should the money and power behind a news organization influence how it presents the news? At The Age, the Sydney Morning Herald, and the Australian Financial Review, independents are nourished, cherished, and fiercely defended. Our journalists pursue the truth without fear or favour. They don't bow to the rich or powerful. Whether dissecting education, economics, or big national schemes like the National Broadband Network, they remain unrestricted by money, corporate direction, or bias. We know you have many choices when it comes to your news. All we suggest is that when choosing, do as we do, seek out the truth." Now, this was a very, very bold statement for a news organization to make, because we know how much corporate influence goes on in the newspaper and right throughout the media. And they are standing up, and we were dissecting this, saying, who are they actually trying to speak to? They're not talking to the other media, and they're not really talking to the public at large, because the public at large is largely unaware. we came to the conclusion they were talking to us. They were talking to the truth seekers, and they were saying, come to us and ask us what truths you want, because we're now ready to actually put them out there for you.
Chris, okay. Chris, I'd love to actually contribute to that. I didn't actually read that paper, but as I've probably expressed to a few people, I did currency trading for a number of years.
Mm-hmm.
And what I would say is that that news organization is trying to eradicate the editors and the hardcore journalists within the organization to conform to, you know, what the mainstream is wanting to do. So the actual journalists in that might actually be standing up for their own paper, so to speak.
Standing up for the position of the people that they want to actually serve.
Yeah, you know, the purpose of journalism.
Yeah, that's exactly the message we're getting from it. So I hope there's a little group formed again, you know, it's the Australians jumping in, boots and all. We're putting together a Facebook campaign, and this is to all the people out there listening as well, and it's the reason I mention it, is that we're going to do a short, sharp Facebook campaign starting later this week, and it's going to actually, in part, have a facility to direct an email response to each person who likes it, who likes the page, and who basically participates in a questionnaire consisting just of a couple of questions. And as a result of that, if they so choose, it'll flick off a message to the editor of The Age, or the information email address for The Age. We would like as many people as possible to drop into this Facebook page. It doesn't matter where you are in the world, and like it, answer a couple of questions, and flick off an email to The Age, because we're going to see them as soon as we feel that we've got enough numbers on that page. We're going to go off and see the editor, and we're going to give them a download and tell them what we want them to talk about. And we're going to tell them basically just the first thing we want them to talk about, which is what the banks and the courts and the governments are doing to us through the system of mortgages that they're using. It's around the planet, not just here. We're doing this is ultimately, we're focused here because these guys have stood up, and we wanted to structure the Facebook page and our approach in such the way that we do two things. We call out the other media. We're saying, you know, these guys are doing it. What about you? And providing that example so that around the world people can go to their own media and say, hey, these guys down here, down under, you know, little old Australia, their media are standing up. The people inside the media are coming forward and saying, we're taking an ethical position, not a commercial position. We want to serve the people. So we just want to amplify this little burst of energy that's come from inside a newspaper unexpectedly and kick it through the entire system. Because, Andrea, you've been saying for some time that it the key to it is the newspapers. Well, this might just be the key.
It's the key is the newspapers. The auditory is one thing of the news. It's controlled by etheric broadcasting that controls the vibration and intonation of the newscasters. In paper, it doesn't have vibration and intonation because you create it when you read it in your mind. So a true author of a journalism who puts their heartfelt truth discernment into an article is transferred through the reading and the creation process of the article. So even it just being in print and it barely being read changes the world. The fact that the Age Guardian, the Age newspaper, put that there, it is what I call consciousness first strike attempts. We're challenging you, reality. We're challenging you. Who takes up the challenge now? What Chris has just said is you're going to make a presentation to them. What you're telling them is, you said put up. We're saying we're putting up or you're shutting up.
Yep.
We're finding out if you're truth, because we're going to continue doing what we do, and we're going to continue yelling as loud as we can yell and telling every person we can tell. And if you're a true newspaper for ethical truth, you will see that this movement has been going on for years, no matter how hard they've tried to stop it, destroy it, decipher it, or create within it deception. It still goes, and it creates new people who were in cubicles 18 months ago.
Bingo. Yeah, it's consciousness awakening itself on this planet.
Right.
And this message came through very clearly to us. You know, one of the the folk in our little group, Helen, was looking at this, and she said someone inside this organization is really upset. This is them expressing themselves, and we suspect strongly, as Andre said, that the journalists inside the newspaper are finally pushing against the corporate commercial control that they've all been experiencing as professional journalists, because they are people too, and they want the truth out there. That's why they became journalists, and they've been frustrated. So somehow or another, to have a full page ad in a paper like that, it has to get past a number of editorial reviews, because it's directly expressing the views of the paper itself. It's not just an advertisement for a client. So it must have taken some pressure from within to actually even get it on paper and published. And as soon as Rena brought it to our attention, we all went, whoa, something happening down at the Age. And this newspaper's headquartered about 20 minutes drive from me and most of the people in the group. And
degree of separation.
It's just so close. We all sat back and said, we have to do something about this. So when the Facebook page is going to be called People's Media Watch, and we need it to go viral, we need it to have, if possible, hundreds of thousands of likes, plus a comment, because we know the Age will be looking at it, and so there needs to be comments as well. And as I said, the intention is to have a couple of simple little questions there, and the first question is going to be, what truth would you like the Age to actually publish? Well, not sure exactly how we'll phrase it. We've got to review that, but this is a very important little project that we've got going down here, so it needs to have a short, sharp, viral campaign to get us in front of the most senior people possible in that organization to put our information to them, because they will they'll be in a position to really do something about it. And because of the nature of what they've done, they've been so public about it, we can take that same ad to all the other media groups in this country and put it to them. We're saying the Age is stepping up. Even if they don't really have the cojones to do it properly, we're going to be going to the other media anyway and saying, the Age is stepping up. How about you guys? Who's going to print truth for us? Who's going to give the people the truth? So, going to be a really short, sharp, exciting time down here. So, hope, keep an eye on it.
I absolutely will. And if you would give me just a minute, I'd like to let everybody know, for anyone who's in the Gold Coast area, we will be having one more Fix the World meeting while I'm here. And I just wanted to give everyone the address of where that will be located. It's at 337 Christine Avenue, Varsity Lake on the Gold Coast. And the date of the meeting is this Saturday, September 7th. And it starts at 6 p.m. and goes from 6 to 9 p.m. And we just ask that if everyone can bring a plate or some finger food or a drink or something along those lines. And the meetings are free. So if you'd like to come out and meet and network and experience the magic that's happening with the global evolution, come on down.
Any other events you want to speak about now for the rest of your trip, even if it's just locations and times?
At this time, no. I've been doing the best that I can to keep the itinerary updated on the Hope Girl blog, but mostly because of some limited internet access and the intensity of the traveling that we've been doing, because we've literally been staying at one place almost every day, and we've just been moving and moving and moving. So internet's a little difficult. The easiest way for me to keep everyone updated is through my Facebook page, which is Hope More. I've been posting pictures and snippets of the trip in real time. So please come onto Facebook and friend me if you haven't already, and you can follow our journey there.
Fantastic, Hope. Really great work. And it's been an honor and a privilege to have you down under.
It's been so great being here, and part of me doesn't want to go home.
Oh, you'll be back. You'll be back, and we will be able to hook up again in October for the meeting down in Florida. So make sure you do slot that into your schedule.
Excellent.
And Andrew, did you want to add anything because we've got just 10 minutes to go on the show. So
I think what I have to add is for all those that are listening live and all those that are listening in the archives, you know, we had KP come on, Quiapelli come on, in his journey across the United States, and our Hope Girl's journey across Australia. Who else is going to step up? Who else is going to leave their cubicle and do the same thing? Who's going to step into their power and join the people on the front stage saying, let's change the world?
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to meeting all of those people who step up and have stepped up.
Yep.
It's what's needed. Yeah, who's next? What would you like to do? What's your dream? What do you see for the world? You know, what would you like the world to be for your family, for your kids? This is
there's
the
7 future generations.
Yep, this 7 future generations. This is the point where we shift everything. And there's a concept kicking around that there's going to be an event. And conclusion I've had for some time now is the event is us stepping up. It's as simple as that.
If you go back and listen to Walking in Energy 3, I describe it step by step. The event is us. And then the system can only react to movements. It can't react to individuals sharing dreams, changing the world at the grassroots level, traveling from point to point, offering meetings for people to come and share their minds and their group images, and inspiring others to do the same. It's a time of action, people. Action turns knowledge into wisdom. What actions do you have ahead of you so wisdom becomes truth and truth becomes knowledge and we become a free sovereign species once again?
That is our journey.
Could I ask Andrew a question, Chris?
For sure, Andre.
Sure. Yeah, there's a good few minutes here, and it's like plateaued a bit. And I'd like to ask something that might take it another level for everyone listening, right? So say, you know, for instance, in the Till Scott interview or teleseminar that Andrew did, there was 800 billion beings listening, right? On the planet Earth at the moment, you know, there might be a couple hundred thousand, and basically they all want to reach Andrew, but potentially they're not all going to do it. So I'd just like to ask Andrew what it means for a listener in their time now on the earth in amongst the 7 billion people that are here. What does it mean for the individual to be aware of you at the moment?
It's a great deal, because 1 degree of separation, as many people realize, I'm Andrew Bartzis, and I'm the Galactic Astorium. I'm affecting the micro and the macro at the same time. Krista's affecting the micro and the macro at the same time. So is KP, and so is Hope Girl. We are both operating on the micro and macro. And it is our 3D awakened I am present self that must make the choices. Our higher selves are playing out the higher self chess moves of the choices we make here in the present. So for all those people listening live, for all those non-physical entities listening live, it's the I am presence that makes the choice. It is the one that is in time that chooses to be in no time that makes the choice to change. When we no longer agree to the social agreement of time, time is a social agreement, we go into no time. By creating a no time field, all the non-physical dream worlds have access to our physical I am present self. And it's the I am present self duty to be clean of negative energy, to be happy and enjoy light, love, and bliss, to follow their heart's desire. Just as both KP and Hope Girl said, you go with the flow. You don't need to make a schedule because the universe is walking in step with you. And when you begin to see the synchronicities abound over and over and over again, until your awakened facade mind has to say, the universe is here. With every footstep, with every voice, with every person that comes forward, keep those I am presence awake and aware. Keep speaking your truth. Keep speaking your honesty. Keep turning action into wisdom. And with wisdom comes the next layer of unity consciousness, that the non-physical beings that are 1, 2, or 3 degrees of separation from the prime creator are functioning with us and against us, because it is the natural flow of the seasons and the moving of the stars and the passing of the galactic torch to the new generation that is standing up in their I am present self and saying, no, we make the choice in a free-willed universe.
Andre, thank you for asking that question.
Yeah, no, no worries. I mean, I feel it's, for me individually, it's a great honor to be aware of this stuff now. I mean, it feels like it's now is the time that we're going to remember, right?
You know? Oh, yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Now is the time we're going to remember who we are, what we are, where we came from. And now is the time to get angry. You can get angry, but don't get into revenge. Anger is a motivational tool that can be used, even in the sacred neutral perspective, to enforce your sovereign free will. And in the time to come, there'll be many, many more that will reveal many more layers of our galactic history. My purpose is very specific. It cuts like a scalpel at the very heart of the facade, cutting holes into the reality for people to look through on their own free will and say, there is something on the other side. There is something on the other side. It is your dream world. It is unity consciousness waiting for you with the complete answers, with all your soul family, with all of your ancestors saying, we welcome you, brothers and sisters.
Everybody listening to this broadcast is part of these pebbles that are being thrown into the collective to create ripples that expand outwards. And I speak about this a lot. And don't feel that if you're just a passive listener, that you're just an observer traveling along. The energy that's put out through these shows is re-expressed through you to those around you at a subconscious level, at a consciousness level. And this is part of what's actually going on here. And stepping up and physically becoming part of the process just takes it a step further. But even listening, even being aware, as Andre just said, that of this incredible change that we're all going through is an absolutely vital part of this new energy that we're actually building here.
That's right. And Hope Girl and KP, if you're still listening, I encourage you both to listen to these Teal Scott, Andrew Bartz's interview with Chris Hales and Helene Lipson. It is a truly groundbreaking consciousness exploration, revelation of action into wisdom. It covers many topics. Some of the topics are very difficult to understand, but it gives you, the people that are at the front of consciousness exploration and change on this world, a very clear example of how the higher powers and the lower vibration powers are working in entropy and creation and procreation. It is a very revealing thing on many, many, many layers. It is one of those things that should be shared wide and far. There'll be some of those that understand it, and there'll be those that understand it that are one step away of being out of their cubicle or off their island of Hawaii and making their journey to free the soul shards of those they're related to in the fallout shelters.
And one of the things that I'm learning, every time we have one of these sessions where we really reach in and bring out these truths is just how bound we are to the past, the history of this planet, and how important it is to set it free and break out of the bonds that we've actually been in. Even though they're invisible to us, they are as real as steel. And we're just a moment away from snapping those, just an instant. It's going to feel like an intake of breath and we'll be free. We just have to hold to this course.
And for those that want to go and listen to it, you can go to sovereignmedia.net and you can get access to the Teal Scott replay with me. And you can pay $1.11, you can pay $11, or you can pay $111. We made it a sliding scale. So for those of you that is just a little bit of money, it's something for you to reach out and listen to. It's 3 hours of the highest vibrational entities in this front of this world saying there is a truth in your heart, and your heart is the truth. And the subject matters that we bring up are helping hearts expand into their own truth.
Andrew, we're just coming up to the end of the show, and it's been an absolutely fantastic show. It's so synchronistic, I can't tell you just how much. Hope, are you still with us?
I'm still here.
Yeah, and I'm sure you're really feeling that yourself. I'm going to be asking people to really spread this show around. I think it really points to how the everything we're doing is so interconnected and so important. I think everybody needs to listen to this show, as this particular show, as well as to the Teal Scott interview, and to the show we did last Friday. Actually, at the end of that show, we had a couple of amazing phone calls, and I'm sorry we haven't been able to attend to calls today, but we'll definitely get back to those at the start of the next show. If anyone needs to call in at the start of the next show, and we'll go through some questions then. But look, this is has been a great moment for pulling together threads of stories and revealing their true purpose. Again, Andrew, and I know Andre feels the same, thank you for your presence here at this time. Hope, thank you for yours. KP, if you're still listening, thank you for yours. And thank you to everybody that's out there listening. I'll be doing, obviously, the Galactic History Show in 2 days' time. And I've got the long conversation tomorrow. And synchronistically, I'm not too sure who'll be on in the second half yet, but I'm just waiting for the universe to reveal that to me over the next 24 hours. And although I think it already has done, I just haven't made that connection yet. I've got a suspicion. I know exactly where it's going to go. But please join us for those shows and all the shows that Lisa Harrison and that I was doing before. I've kind of jumped onto my own channel. You know, it's important to follow along those shows if you're so motivated to do so. If you're finding you're getting support from there, support from here, you'll always get support from here, no matter what's going on. And I really
look. Collective imagination is a great arrangement of people that are working forward and moving forward, as well as the Lisa Harrison show. You know, they're truth fighters.
They are all truth fighters. We're all fighting the same fight. There is only one. And this is it. So thank you very much for bringing your consciousness to this program today, and for all the people who are listening to this in the future. You're participating as if you were here at this moment, and your energy is being lent to this moment. That's why these shows are just so important. So to everybody who's participated today, I really thank you from the bottom of my heart. And I just want to keep this going, keep this energy moving forward, help people to step up, find something inside themselves that brings out their desire to step up. Hope, do you have any final thoughts for the listeners?
That there is hope, and that's something people seem to have forgotten, and I've been helping to remind them of that, and I just want to make sure that everybody remembers that there is, in fact, hope, and there are solutions, and don't listen to the lies.
Where there's life, there is hope.
We are breaking through, and it's all happening right now as we speak.
Andre, any last thoughts?
Sorry about that. I had the mute button stuck. Just thank you for the honor of having me, and good evening or good afternoon from Spaceship Adelaide, Australia.
Yes, love that. Andrew,
Lookout Mountain, signing off.
Yeah. And from me, thank you, Andrew, so much for all of your information, as usual, and your great way of actually pulling together all the information in these sessions into something that's really meaningful. So it's a good day to you from down here in Melbourne, Australia. Hope you'll join us in a couple of days' time. Keep your eye out on our respective Facebook pages. That's Hope's and Andrew's and mine, for information about upcoming shows. And we hope you have a really great day. We'll see you in a couple of days' time.